My name is Tyler Mikorski, a.k.a. Vukum, and you're now watching the Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian.
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 Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian. Woo!
So that's the first time I heard your name was Tyler.
Yeah. Tyler. Oh,
not the most Italian name.
What's up, Tyler? Not the most Italian name, especially with the last name Mikorski.
Really?
Yeah. SKI, though, not
SKI. Are you Italian?
Yeah, my mom's 100% Italian, and my dad's not Italian.
So wait, where's your mom from?
Naples.
Napoli, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
And your dad is?
Dad is Polish and a little German.
How did they meet? I always like to know how people's parents meet. I always like love stories like
my
that.
My dad was a banker in Staten Island, and my mom went into the bank, and I guess she was just doing regular banking duties, and she liked him. So she kept going to the same bank, I guess, just making bullshit deposits just to see him. And then
$5.
Yeah, no, literally. Like, she just kept going back. That's how I was told the story. She just kept going back and back. And eventually she had her dad's sister, so her aunt, my great aunt, go in and kind of do the introduction. I guess she was too shy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So your mom hollered at your dad, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it was mutual, though. I think they were starstruck.
They like some love like, at first sight. Like each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't hear stories like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like to meet a girl nowadays, like, oh, I liked her Instagram story and she liked it back. So,
yeah, everything is like that.
That would never happen nowadays. Mobile deposits, bro.
Yeah, that's a, no such deposits.
Yeah.
This is before Zelles and stuff.
Yeah.
And also because I don't think it's even allowed to hit on a client anymore.
Yeah, you like, definitely can't.
You can't do anything anymore. Like that.
No, you HR? Go to HR. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happened? He asked her out to dinner or something?
I don't know the rest of the story. I just know that that's how they met. That's all they ever told me. I guess. Maybe they went to a drive-in movie theater.
Man, is that long ago?
Yeah, they're not that old. They're probably, what, like 50?
Drive-in movie theater is like
51? Oh, no. My mom's like 53, maybe.
It's like 80s.
Yeah.
They probably went to go disco together.
Yeah, yeah, disco.
More of that kind
Hell
of
yeah.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, but man, I was happy you reached out. I've been a fan of yours for a while. And
Thank
we exchanged messages. And whenever I see your content, I'm like, this is the guy that's going to get me a watch for a good deal.
I will.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So
you need some. I got you. Both yeah. of you. 100%.
I was supposed to wear my little Datejust today, but I forgot.
I forgot my chain, of course.
You got a rolling?
I took a shower. I was like, I'm forgetting something today. And then,
why'd you take it off in the shower?
I don't know, bro. I just felt like after a certain amount
you
of time.
You shower with jewelry on?
Yeah. I mean, I usually only wear a cross and I wear this, but that's it.
You never take that off?
I do for jujitsu. So I take the cross and this off when
but
I do.
You sleep in your cross and that?
Yeah.
See, sometimes when I sleep.
Sus, for the. Everybody says you could choke yourself out in your sleep.
Is that
and
true? What do you think? You have some experience, you know?
I didn't die yet. So that's good.
You're still alive.
Knock on wood.
No, that's,
Knock
I think on wood. That's why I took it off.
Hey. Is right? that.
Knock on the brajol. You know?
I used to always wear my chain all the time. Like when I had just like, I rock my little 14 carat. How you doing? I would always wear it all day, but now it's like I always, at night, I got to take everything off.
Really?
Yeah, especially
I feel the earrings. Because I used to have I had this, and this. This was a Jersey thing. Don't judge me.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I would always take them out when I was sleeping. But the worst when you first get them pierced and you can't take them out when you're sleeping. Yeah. Stab
but
it
like
all night.
First couple of weeks.
Yep.
But, yeah, even when you wear earrings and you sleep, like, you stab yourself or, like, they get bent.
Yeah.
What made you take your earrings out?
I don't know. I just kind of wasn't my thing anymore.
Because this was the last one. The watch guys move different. Like, they look down on, like, the diamond guys and stuff.
Yeah, not even, though. Like, for me, I stopped wearing these two. I got them pierced maybe my sophomore, junior year of high school. And then I stopped wearing these two probably senior year of high school. I only left this in up until 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I always had this in.
So, what do you sell diamonds at all? Like, gold, diamonds, chains, all that?
When I first started, I was definitely selling, gold and diamonds, diamond tennis bracelets, really whatever I can flip. But as time went on, when you make more money and you have more money to spend, you just find it easier because watches is just a set market. It's quick to move and don't know. That's kind of my opinion on it.
Yeah, everybody knows what the watches go for.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a set price. There's negotiating, but it's over, you know, within a couple $1,000s, depending on the price.
As far as diamonds, would you say it's fair to say it's a waste of money?
I wouldn't say it's a waste of money. I truly don't know enough about diamonds to even, like, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, Buck. I don't know if you're paying attention, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like you look at it and you could bring it to person A and it's worth $5,000 and you could bring it to person B and it's worth $4,000.
Subjective a little bit?
Yes. I think it's by how you look at it.
What did you call
them, bulk?
Buck.
Buck?
Buck.
B-U-C-K.
That's like an old soul that, what's up, Buck?
Sold it for
why,
a buck.
Why Buck?
His name's Buckley, his last name.
Okay, Buckley, yep. Okay.
Fire.
That's fire. So you call him Buck.
I feel like here, Buck, it's like a guy that plays baseball or something.
Hey, old Buck.
Yeah, like, good old Buck.
Buck has a great eye.
Old Buck.
Wait, so let's rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
And before the party, you were telling us a little bit. So what got you into this field? And tell people what you're doing, because they're watching us. They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, so for anybody who doesn't know, I buy and sell. Do I look in the camera or you guys?
Whatever you want.
I'm looking at you guys.
Yeah, look at us.
So I buy and sell luxury watches on the streets of New York, specifically 47th Street. Just buy and sell watches. That's how I make my living. That's how I make my money. And then I make content around the flipping of the watches.
Mm-hmm. It's got you this far. So how long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing it for 5 to 6 years since I was 18. And I started filming. Yeah, I started on TikTok January 1st, 2022.
That's great. It's so fresh still. It's wild. And you already come so far.
Yeah.
So going back to 2022. Mm-hmm. What were your intentions via social media? Truthfully.
Oh, yeah, of course. Always truthful. So the intentions were really, you know, I wanted to build a following on my Instagram just so I can sell a watch quicker. And it wasn't like, you know, I take a picture of a watch without followers. I'll take a picture of a watch and I'll sell it in like a dealer group chat. There's different group chats that we as dealers have amongst each other. If a watch didn't sell, I'd try to post it on my Instagram and hopefully get a little bit more money out of it. Right. But with a small following, it's harder to sell a watch versus
how many people are in this kind of group chat with all these jewelers?
It could be 200. It could be 500. It could be 12,000. It just depends on where it is, what platform. Most of them are on.
Like WhatsApp?
Facebook, WhatsApp, and Telegram. Those are the main three.
What do you got to do to get in this group chat? Do you got to like...
There's different requirements. Like most Facebook groups, there's like, you just have to be interested in buying and selling a watch. That's it. But a lot of the groups that I'm in nowadays, you have to have, you know, tax ID and secondhand reseller license. And you have to have people that are vouching for any actions that you take. So, you know, it's...
Can't move funny style.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. And a lot of people that try to, they don't last long in the business.
Yeah, because in a lot of your content, I'll see, like, you always sell to jewelers, and that's always the funniest, because, like, two master negotiators, like, trying to get the best price.
Yeah, trying to squeeze the last dollar out of it.
Exactly. So, like, I give you credit, because when I see these kind of videos, there's at points I'm, like, already getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, no, don't buy it.
Oh, you got to see me in there. A lot of the times, we don't even post this shit, because I get so pissed off. They try to get you, and that brings me to, like, my next... I guess you could say talking point. Something that really pisses me off is the people that'll negotiate with me the hardest and squeeze me for
Italians, right?
For no. They squeeze me for every last dollar are a lot of the people that I, not to toot my own horn because I never would, that I put on TikTok, and those are the people that like show no, I guess you could say respect. Like they have
you saying as far as jewelers go, like.
Jewelers or watch dealers watch that are on TikTok now because of me, or their business is doing very well because of me.
They should be paying $500 more every time, no?
Well, no, yeah. What
that should
they
be
should,
Volcom tax.
Yeah, what they should do is when I come in with a watch that I want to sell, they should just say, okay, yeah,
right.
Like,
right.
Thank you for putting me in videos, realistically.
Yeah,
but
that never happened.
They don't think like that.
Yeah. People on 47th never give you the credit either. That's the problem.
No, yeah,
but jewelers are like. Not old jewelers, but 90% jewelers are scumbags.
Yeah.
They'll say whatever to get it.
I can really tell you're a very genuine guy.
And yeah.
I did not get that vibe at all the second on the video.
On the videos, yeah, I probably don't. don't seem like too nice.
No, I mean, not that I was saying based off the persona I see in social media, I didn't think you were a douchebag anyways.
Oh, okay, good.
That's not what I was trying to say. But Sabino's right. In that industry, bro, it's very hard to trust anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And
you just want to make the deal, you know?
Yeah, and then like one of the first things that his dad, John Buckley, taught me was that your reputation in this business is everything, and that something that you do when you're, you know, 17 or 18 years old will carry with you until you're 30 or whatever, or it could put you out of business even.
Shout out to John Buckley.
Big shout out to John Buckley.
I do want to ask, okay, you say you started this when you were 18.
Yeah. What technically, I could say 17. I could get away with saying 17.
Okay. So what were you like as a kid? Were you just always into watches and jewelry or?
No, so I wasn't necessarily into watches or jewelry. I was more so into making money just as a whole. I remember being in flea markets when I was 12, 13, 14. I was reselling iPhones, phone cases. I was working in flea markets, lifting boxes and putting them on a box truck and mirrors and pieces of furniture. I worked in an amusement park, like an indoor amusement park in Central Jersey. Central Jersey's a thing, by the way.
Wait, because some people say it's not.
Oh, no, it is.
It is.
John Rondi said it's not.
Where are you in Jersey that
Central? I am in Freehold, like by Freehold. The Freehold Mall.
All right, guys, we're going to check out Freehold on the map after
this. It's dead center.
I didn't see
middle.
It anywhere. When I was looking at Jersey, I just saw north and south. I didn't see it.
That's funny.
That's true. Well, yeah, so you were just a young hustler. And
yeah.
How did you exactly start when you were 17 then?
So when I was 17, I asked his dad, because I had a couple weeks left or maybe a month or two left of high school. So I asked his dad if he'd bring me into the city with him to, you know, start showing me the business. And luckily he said, yeah, he'd bring me in because,
you know. Are you guys neighbors or something? Like you
grew no, up no, I grew up to like pretty much we became best friends and then our families became friends because we were like close.
That, okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he brought me in. I believe it was maybe 10 days before I turned 18.
Wow.
I had a lot of sick days left in high school, so I was able to just take off and go and still graduate.
What was that like being under, you clearly look at this at John as like an idol, mentor. Yeah. So what were those first couple of days like going into Diamond District like?
Yeah, so a lot of the people on the street will look at you and kind of, you know, they'll see a kid, and I don't blame them, but they'll see a kid and they'll be like, they won't even look at you. They look down on you because, you know, you're a kid. What the fuck are you doing? Go home. Go to school. Like, what are you doing? But I don't know. That was my first days were, I guess you could just say, like, hard to navigate. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to describe it. Just difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. But luckily, since his dad, you know, was well-respected, mm-hmm. he was able to, you know, introduce me to people that I wouldn't have had access to, immediate access to from the beginning.
The word access is so important and underrated.
Yep.
Because that's the biggest difference when you're trying to like move and groove, especially in a business like this where you need certain clientele to move stuff, right? So
yeah, for sure. I
see that being super important.
You also got a name drop in your industry too. Like we have an uncle mm-hmm. that, you know, he's been doing jewelry his whole life. So mm-hmm. whenever I'm in the Diamond District, I'll mention like, oh, he does
pawning.
You know what I mean?
He
sick.
Upstate. Shout outs to what's his deal's name? We should give
Arlington
him a
little Exchange. Shout out. Arlington Exchange.
Yeah, and Poughkeepsie.
Nice.
So like he helped get me this, right? Everybody's That's asking me about this piece. So someone pawned this piece and he sold it to me for a good deal.
Hell yeah.
So it's funny because when we explain, like, everybody got an uncle that's a jeweler or they know a jeweler.
Yeah, everybody knows.
As an Italian, right? Like, yeah. Like, oh, my uncle's a jeweler. Or my dad's friend's a jeweler. And then he's just like, you know, a funny character always. Like, yeah, jewelers are funny characters. But my uncle's literally like one of those guys that, like, he shows up with a bag of different chains. He's like, you want it? I'll give you a good price. And then, like, you try to chop him and he's like, you're killing me. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, shout outs to him. But,
no, I was just saying, you have to, like, mention somebody reputable.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or else you're going to get whacked over the head.
Yeah, no, exactly. And something that helped me out a lot was as I started doing my own business, I'd have a watch and I'd try to sell it to, you know, maybe someone I didn't know, because the way it works is you take a watch and you're walking and meeting new people every second. Hey, I have this watch. Do you want to buy it? No, I'm okay. Boom. Next person. Hey, I have this watch. Oh, let me look at it. They look at it. No, I'm good. And then you're meeting new, quite literally, like every 10 seconds, you can meet someone new on the street. Yeah. So
you can do this industry or you go to your like specific spots?
You could do it on the street itself, in the street. People are, you stop somebody. Hey, I have someone that is like a familiar face. hey, I have this watch right on the street. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it because it's there's people watching.
What's the fastest you've ever flipped a watch?
Like probably 30 seconds, a minute. Remember when I bought the watch from Kerry? I sold it to Jules right after.
Like 2,000, like you put it
30
like
seconds or a minute. Yeah, I don't even remember the deal. I just remember that video because everyone was laughing how quick it was. Like he didn't even have to cut the video. I bought a watch from this woman named Kerry, Godmother of Diamonds, and I bought it from her. And I
Godmother of Diamonds.
The Godmother of Diamonds.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah. That's what she calls herself.
Your name dropping right now.
Yeah, well, she calls herself the Godmother of Diamonds. That's what she calls herself. So I took the watch. I look at him. I say, let's go fast flip this thing. And without cutting the camera, we just walk maybe 10 steps, 15 steps, drop it on the counter, give it to this girl, Jules, who's on TikTok. What's her name? Watch by Jules. Watch by Jules. Okay. And drop it on the counter. Here, buy this. Negotiate. Boom, done.
How much did you make on that deal?
I don't even remember the deal. It couldn't have been too much because since it was so fast, it probably could have been like 500 or $1,000. I don't see it being more.
But I could get the vibe that you're not like greedy. Like you're happy to make $1,000 a deal.
I'm happy to make any money because you could lose money just as fast as you make it. So, you know, if I'm in profit, it depends on the amount of work I had to do. It depends if I know that the watch is going to sell, you know, it gives me that boost of confidence where I'm just like, no, I'm gonna stay strong at my price, but yeah, for the most part, I'm happy to make a quick couple hundred bucks.
Well, you got to talk to us about when you first started. Is there any difference between then and now? In, I guess not in the streets, trends? But like no, like selling watches or buying watches. What have been the number one things that come to your mind that have changed?
Between then and now, I mean, people will give me something if they want me to sell it, and they'll give it to you on what they say memo. And I'll take the watch and I'll walk up the street and sell it to somebody and then go pay him after.
Gotcha.
But I mean, that's really, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. Plus now people are like knocking down my door to buy something from me versus back then I would have to, you know, push to sell something.
Yeah. No, I do want to make this like an educational video for people. Yeah. I could picture naming this like how to buy your first like Rolex. Luxury watch.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're going to talk about.
That'd be sick.
Basically, let's say you're giving advice to, you know, a young kid straight out of college that he wants to buy his first luxury watch. What advice would you give him to, like, watches to look out for?
Watches to look out for. Well, I'd probably first ask him what his budget is. Mm-hmm. I'd also ask him what line of work he's in, because I know that among finance bros, for example, if you're the new fish and you walk in with some crazy watch.
Like what?
Like, let's say you walk in first day on the job, and you walk in and you got like a
G-Shock?
25,000. No, like some crazy G-Shock. Like a Rolex Daytona, right? Like, which is like a modern one is $25,000 to $30,000.
Yeah. That's a watch people like seek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You walk in with that as like a new person into a job, into that sort of job, the higher ups are gonna just bully you. Like,
really?
Yep, I've heard stories of this. Like, oh, like I'll be like, oh, why don't you buy this? No, like I can't wear that to work. And I'm like, why? And he's like, bro, do you not understand like how this works? And he explains to me like you have to like basically earn your right to like certain levels. Watch. Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought it would be opposite. Like,
No. They don't like that. They hate that,
that
shit.
That is kind of corny though. Picture like an NBA player, right? His rookie game, he's like flashed out, everything. Mm-hmm. It's like a little too much. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Humble yourself a little bit.
Yep.
Okay, so hold on. For that guy, finance bro, he has a $5,000 to $10,000 budget.
I love this question.
What's
you're
the
buying? Here's what you're buying. You're buying a steel Datejust from the late 1980s to 1990s, or you're buying a two-tone Datejust from the late 1980s to 1990s. The reference numbers are 16014. If anybody wants to look it up,
this is a clip, by the way.
Yeah, a 16014 or a 16233. 16233 is a two-tone Datejust, or a 16013 is also a two-tone Datejust.
If I was him, I would dream about numbers. 16233,
16101. Yeah, numbers like you ever see the Hangover where he's playing blackjack and the numbers are floating over his head. That's me all day. Yeah.
All right. So if I just got I'm a bad example. Let's say a buddy of ours just got drafted to the NBA. He has a $50,000 budget. He's a rookie. What's the watch he should get?
See, those watches, to be quite honest with you, are out of my wheelhouse. Like, those are something I don't really deal with as often. Maybe like an AP, like a nice AP, like a Royal Oak.
Because you, like, do more wheeling.
I do things that are, you know, under 15,000, under 20,000.
Okay, more so. That's my wheelhouse right
there. Let me give you a better example.
Yeah.
So you're a co-host of a podcast for an Italian podcast.
Okay.
Your budget's like 6,000-7,000. What would you wear on a podcast that's like, you know, casual?
A 16233, a two-tone Datejust from 1995, 1996.
You have like a shortage of those or what's the
deal? Shortage of them? No.
I mean, do you have an influx of them?
No.
This no, guy's like selling everything.
We know somebody on the market.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what we invited you for. We're just trying to get a good deal here.
Nah, you could buy one without box and papers for around $5,000. With box and papers, you could buy one for around $6,000 to $6,500.
Now, okay. What's the importantness of box and paper? Because they're always like, with box and papers.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
that basically means it's registered.
It's slightly easier to sell. But I'm going to sell a Datejust without papers just as fast as I'm going to sell a Datejust with papers. Honestly, without paper sells easier for me because it's a cheaper option.
Cheaper price.
And that's what my market is. It's like.
But do people question, like, is this real? Like, you know?
No, but if I wasn't who I was, then they would question.
Yeah, that's your whole reputation, like you
yeah,
said.
Yeah.
But can you spot, like, a fake?
Oh, yeah, from a mile away.
But there's good fakes too, though, no?
Even though, like, it's just. And I couldn't pinpoint, like, if you're asking me, like, what's fake about it, sometimes everything's just so. Like, if I look at one specific part, that one part will look good. But it's just something about it to me. It's off. And I'll say it's off.
You really, like, you really know your shit. That's
so what's a day in the life? Like, you're just, like, inspecting watches all day? Like,
nah, day in the life is wake up around, 11, 10:30.
Wake up at 11?
Yeah. I like to start slow. Okay. Then we make it to the city. Probably get there around 12:30.
Everything closes at 5-ish?
Yeah. We're quick. 2, 3, 4 hours.
Man, you got it made.
Yeah. So
you're like a superstar watch dealer.
Yeah, no, that's how it was before this, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, unless his dad was driving in. His dad is kind of ridiculous on the time because we found, this is recent too, like this isn't something that has always been happening, but I would go in with him and his dad and we would wake up at the ass crack of dawn. And
what time is that? 7?
For me, it's like 7:30.
Okay.
Like for me, I know most people work like 4 or 4:30 to, you know, for a regular job. But like for me, waking up at 7:30, it fucks up my whole day because I don't know. I think I need to wake up later. But so anyway, wake up at the ass crack of dawn and his dad's outside my house like 8:30. Like, yo, let's go. Like, fuck. We get in the car, we drive in, we get to the city at what, 11:30, 12?
11:15, 1:30.
Yeah. Then we leave. We leave Central Jersey at 11:30 and we get there at 12. 12, no, 12:30. Sorry, that was off. 12:30. Oh,
we leave Central Jersey at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
15 a.m.
No, we don't. We get breakfast first.
True, yeah, we get breakfast.
Right? We get breakfast like an hour.
We leave Central Jersey, call it 10:30, 10:45. We get to the
show. And we get there the same.
11:45.
20 minutes later. 20 minutes later.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah, and you leave like 2 hours in different. Yeah, of course. And the best is I was making fun of his dad yesterday, and he goes, "What do you say?" When I'm like, "Oh, you want to wake up so early?" He's like, "That extra 20 minutes matters, Mick." He's
like, "That extra early bird gets the worm."
Yeah, he's like, "You could do a lot in that extra 20 minutes."
So obviously, there's good days. Hopefully, more than bad days. But on a bad day, do you ever come home on a bad day, or what's the deal? How are we doing in that department?
Like on the bad days?
Are there bad days in general?
Yeah, there's sometimes a bad day.
How do they affect you, the bad days?
It doesn't, because there's going to be a good day tomorrow, so it doesn't matter.
I like that. I like that energy.
And that wasn't even on some like positivity shit. That's just a fact of the matter. You're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to do the same shit that you did today. Yeah. So what, are you going to fucking sit there and sulk about it? Nope.
That industry is so hard, though. You know what it can bring at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I guess you always are looking at the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
But on a bad day, it's like, I'm sure it costs, you know, hundreds or thousands at a time, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that is okay to me. If I've never lost like 20,000 or 10,000 in a day, I'd probably be pretty fucking pissed. But, you know, you got to make it back now. So you got to just get back on the horse.
Yeah. And you think social media has helped or has it made it tougher now?
The workload is what I have issues with is managing the workload. So I do have one employee that I pretty much treat as a partner because he's, you know, so close to me. His name's Sam Grossman. Shout out to Sam Grossman. But yeah, no, I mean, he helps me with the workload, but there's too many.
He does a lot of running around for you.
Yeah, yeah. Shipping, yeah. Getting watches in, checking them out, sending them to me, bringing them to me. So yeah, he's good. But the only thing I'm struggling with is like just the influx of people coming in. It's hard to manage. And it's hard to hire someone new because it's a very, like, you have to trust the person that you're hiring.
Yeah. Right. Someone can make a mistake that costs you money.
Yeah, or put a gun to your head and rob you.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, you have any like crazy stories like that or
no?
Thank God, knock on wood.
Knock on the brush wall again.
All right, what's I asked you like what's the perfect watch for somebody buying their first, but this is the Grown Up Italian podcast.
Okay.
And a lot of these guys watching this, they're wondering that pizza guy that he's throwing the dough in the sky, right? He wants to buy a nice watch for $10,000.
For work, too.
For work.
Yeah, that's a like, fucking nice pizza guy.
He's throwing the pizza in the air. He makes the best pizzas around.
Like a gold watch? A gold Rolex?
Yeah, he wants like a gold
watch. I think that would look fresh on a pizza guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
Come on.
Yeah, a day date. Like a 36 millimeter day date. You could bang that around. It's made of gold, solid gold watch. 18 karat.
Cleans up nice?
Cleans up nice. And they're very good... I never want to say, like, I give investment advice or anything like that, because it's definitely not investment advice. But the watch performs as far as value over time.
Mm, so far, it doesn't depreciate.
Not yet.
Knock on wood.
How about a guy? I'm going to give you a situation. You give me the watch for it. I like you know, what he
can I give a price range on that other one, though, real quick?
Yeah.
Because that one might have been a stretch. Maybe like 12,000 to 13,000.
But you're gonna squeeze out a pizza guy. He has 2,000 more.
He can reach in. He can reach in.
Poor guy, flip about 100 more pizzas. Huh? For that. So, first date with a girl.
First date
going
with a girl.
To a red sauce joint.
Oh, I got a good one for you.
First date.
Okay.
Nice guy. What's he wearing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
You pull out the fucking old Corolla. No fucking watch. Driver.
Success rate's not good on this that because I'm just letting you know. If you're hoping she likes the personality, you're fucked.
All right, give us the answer we were looking for.
For the date.
Yeah.
Still date just. You can't go wrong. Yeah, you have a watch but you're not powerful. OD. Right. You don't want to be overdoing it.
Yeah. I got two more guys that you need to get watches for. Another guy's a how you doing.
Okay.
You know what a how you doing is?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the best watch for how you doing? He likes to impress his friends. How you
Gold
doing?
Day date.
See? He knows.
Yeah. Maybe some bling on it.
See this little ice thing?
A little ice.
Do you look down on the ice?
I don't look down on it. I don't look up to it. It's just like, if you want to add diamonds to a watch, go ahead. I don't care.
But it does hurt. Like, you know, the thing is, if everybody says, okay, if you put diamonds on a watch, you lose value. Is that true?
So the watch itself doesn't, like, if I'm buying a watch with diamonds on it, what I'm looking at is the watch. It depends. It depends if, you know, they drilled into it or if they just put a bezel on it. You know, if they put a diamond bezel and a diamond dial onto, let's just use the Datejust for a two-tone Datejust. Two-tone Datejust with box and papers, call it $6,000, right? If you go and spend the extra $1,000 for the bezel and the extra $500 for the dial, that's $1,500 on top of your $6,000. You're at $7,500.
You have two different faces.
You're only getting $6,000 out of the watch. So the bezel and the dial, to me, it kind of just goes into the value of the watch. That's what they mean when they say you're gonna lose money on the watch.
So it's kind of like putting like grills on a lease,
or rims on a lease,
on a lease.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's still worth kind that of. Amount.
Yeah,
but yeah, I got you.
Actually, grills is better because the wheels you could change. But I guess the same thing. All right, last guy we gotta take care of. He owns a boat. He loves to be in the water.
Okay.
He likes to go fishing.
Okay.
What should he got? He has what a type money of fishing? He has bread. He has bread because he
big
has a
boat. Big
ass boat?
Like a yacht?
He got like, you know, a boat for four or five people. They go fishing, you know. They catch striped bass, you know. Nothing too crazy.
I have a person in mind for everybody you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. Me too, honestly.
I feel like a rose gold root beer would look good. Like, you got, like, tan like skin. You're like probably out in the sun. Nah, GMT.
Oh, the GMT. So yeah.
So, rose gold. Solid, though. Solid rose gold.
See, like, I like Rolex watches more than all the other stuff. And I feel like I do, like, as I got older, I learned about Datejust, GMT. I always thought the root beer was like that's the black. Yeah, it's Submariner, right? Like the black face.
No, the root beer is a GMT.
Okay. And like they have the Pepsi, the Hulk.
Yeah, right? Pepsi's like, a GMT. Hulk or Pepsi, Batman, Batgirl, root beer.
Robin.
Then back Hulk. In the day, they had the Coke. Yeah. That one had a black and red bezel on it. But yeah.
You know where I can get a fresh quality pizza with the freshest ingredients? I'm talking like homemade dough, pecorino romano grated in-house.
Of course.
Where?
Because Anthony's Cold Fire Pizza and Wings. That Cold Fire is at the heart of who they are.
Oh, they're that spot that's located all in the Northeast, and they have a bunch in Florida, right?
Yep.
Man, I love when you have a good recommendation for once.
Stop by Anthony's on March 14th and get a 12-inch pizza for $3.14. Dine-in only.
Go get your pizza.
Crispy, crunchy, savory, and sweet. Order what you want on Uber Eats.
Listen, guys, from now to the end of the year, December 31st, on the Uber Eats app, you go to Anthony and Son Panini Shop, and you get a nice $25 off.
When you use the code Panini.
Got to use the code Panini.
Terms apply. See app for details. We're very excited to announce a long-term partnership with DeSoto Gastronomia out from Australia. These guys got a really, really interesting restaurant.
DeSoto has a very interesting story. So they're first-generation Italian-Australians.
They're basically us in Australia.
DeSoto was created in their parents' and grandparents' honor so that they can pay their legacy forward. 100% of their proceeds goes to people in need, charities, and the arts.
DeSoto will be supporting us this year, so you know the content's going to be even better.
Bro, and who knows? Maybe at some point we're going to have to take a trip down under, huh?
I was always curious how the Italian-Australians made food.
It's time we find out.
I got a little fun one for you now.
What? I'm scared.
No, it's a good one. Top five watch brands. Your preference, though.
For me, it would just be about what moves fastest. Like, what moves, like, for money. Like, me, when I look at watches, I don't get the awe factor. I kind of just look at it like, if you were to look at the words of on a screen for, like, stocks, and it just said the word Tesla, it just said the word, you know, PayPal. Like, that's how I look at them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I like some of them, but I'm not, like, over the moon about any.
What are you rocking in your personal collection right now?
I don't have a personal collection.
That's fire.
At all, but I just have one watch. It's a two-tone rose gold Datejust with a chocolate stick dial.
Nice. So you'll rock that the most?
Barely. I think the last time I wore it was on my birthday, May 16th.
So you basically, like, let's say you have a couple of watches, you rock it, and you'll like, sell shit off your wrist, right? Because that's the way my uncle is. Like, one time my dad was like, oh, I like, he had, like, a Breitling watch on. My dad's like, oh, I like that. He goes, yeah, 2000.
You know, like, have you ever done that?
Have I ever done that?
Like, you were wearing
I don't wear watches.
Not at all.
No.
That's so funny, bro.
Yeah.
That's like me saying I don't eat sandwiches.
Yeah.
You never found somebody that ate more sandwiches. I guess you can't get high on your own supply, though.
Yeah, you can't get high on your own supply. There's that. But there's also just the risk in wearing watches.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Especially just being known for having watches. Like, you know, obviously I don't have a watch on me right now, but if someone is like, oh, that's the watch guy, let's get them. Like, right,
of course. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't have a watch.
Yeah.
What are you going to take?
Well, that's the another side of that industry that, you know, you deal with all burglary and theft and all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. That's why you have to, you know, take the proper precautions and not, I don't want to say be an idiot, but don't be a fucking idiot.
Right.
You know, like there's some guys walking around with crazy bling on and wearing these high-end watches, $200,000, $100,000 on the wrist, walking around, you know, leaving 47th Street. Like, for what? Yeah. What's the what is the purpose of that? I can't think of a purpose for it.
Yeah. Well, some people are just flashy.
No.
I was never that type, so I get it too. But yeah, some people love that attention.
I mean, I get it. I have some friends like that are like super flat. Like, they'll go to a club and they want to get the craziest like spot and get all the drinks and everything. But and they don't do it just to get drunk. They're doing it because they want everybody to look at them. Well, Who's that? So, I mean, I get it from that point of view, but...
So, what would be, like, the differences between AP, Patek, Hublot? Like, if you're looking at those
I have never bought a Hublot. I've never sold a Hublot.
Is it because they're, like, more expensive?
Nah, they have, like... I don't want to talk shit about them and get sued, but, like, they're just, like... I don't know. Buck, how come we don't deal with Hublot? Because his dad's been drilling this.
I think it's mostly my dad.
Well, no, but why is the reason?
He just he trained you not to do it.
He trained me, don't touch me.
I think the Rolex market itself is just
is better.
Stronger.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe one reason.
You'll always sell a Rolex. Yeah. You'll always sell a Rolex.
Rolex is a Rolex. Like,
that's like the way I feel. And because I don't buy a lot of watches, it's just like, that's what it is. I just buy Rolex.
For any casual person knows what a Rolex is, I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to be in the industry to know.
Like, not everyone knows what a Patek is.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if a guy knows watches, he'll know what it is. But
have you sold any Pateks?
I did the other day.
Is it
Patek
or Patek?
I call it Patek. That's just how I say it.
Is that how everybody in the industry says it?
People, Patek Philippe. Like, yeah. A Patek. Like that, a Patek. It's a Patek.
It's
a fucking Patek. Like what? But yeah, I just sold one the other day to one of our boys, actually. His name's Tony. And
Tony.
But no, I had this fucking thing for, I was getting nervous too because I never like really buy watches that are crazy, crazy expensive. If I'm spending a lot of money, it's usually on packages, like 5 watches, 10 watches. But this one was recent and it was a Patek 5712 is the reference number. If you guys want to pop a picture of it in there. And what happened was I bought the watch from a retail guy, which means the guy DM'd me on Instagram. I have this watch. I want to sell it. Okay, good. Met up with him. Took the watch.
Isn't that the best way, though? Like, you get the best deal for it?
Yeah, but I overpaid on it. So, I paid, what did I pay? 82?
Yeah. 82.
Paid 82,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Is this like a cash situation, too?
No. Okay. Wire, always yeah. Wire. So, I paid 82 G's for it. And, you know, for somebody who's, you know, older in the business or like, you know, that's nothing to them. But for me, it's a good amount of fucking money. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I got to fucking sell this thing now, same day. So I'm walking around 47th Street trying to sell this thing. And I'm like, yo, like, you got this. I got the box of papers here. Guys are looking at it. Yo, you know this dropped, right, price? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean it dropped? I thought I did good. I thought I did good at 82. Nah, bro, I'll give you 60.
What?
Fuck me, dude. So then I go to the next guy. Yeah, like 62 maybe. Next guy. 65.
Holy
next
shit.
Guy, 70. That was the highest
you're
I got.
Going up and up, though.
The highest I got was 70.
But how long were you sitting on it until you sold it?
Well, that was one day where I brought it to all these people on 47th Street. That was just one day. Then a couple days later, I post it in like some of our groups. Not a single offer. Not even a question
that's
about
scary,
it.
Scary, yeah.
So not even a question about it. So fucking. I'm like,
so then you see Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah. Oh no,
you're looking handsome, Tony.
Yeah. Oh, I call him up, tail between the legs, yo. And keep in mind, this is about 2 or 3 weeks after I bought the watch. I still had it, and this is not like me. I always sell shit within a day or two. So I'm breaking a sweat. I'm getting gray hairs. I'm like,
it's funny.
I'm like, Tony. Hi, it's me. I got a Patek 5712 box papers 2016 whatever yada yada yada. He's like, all right, bring it to me. So I bring it to him, and I drop it off with him. And it's there for a good amount of time, but it sells. Motherfucker sold.
He sold it himself.
He sold it for 85 and gave me 84. So I made 2 G's.
Oh, that's good.
Thank God. I would have lost.
I
took the money and sprinted.
Was that worth your investment?
No.
All that stress and anxiety.
If I made 10 grand on it, it still wouldn't have been worth it.
Yeah.
He
made less than 10%. He made like 1% on it.
I have gray hair.
To make 82 G, to spend 82 to make 2 is crazy.
Especially when you do it from a retail guy.
Yeah.
Like usually you'll do that and you'll buy it from another dealer and that'll happen. But for that to happen, I just played that wrong. I paid the most. That was just a fuck up.
That's a lesson.
I was stressing, dude. I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah. See, so that was a bad day, technically. You know,
it was a bad day. It was a bad fucking month.
So clearly, you have like God bless. You have a lot of like rotation. Like you're moving a lot of stuff. So if someone's watching this, what is the best way to buy a watch from you?
Best way to buy a watch from me. Yeah. So
pray to God and hope you answer.
No, never that, never that. I'm actually getting better with the answering. The best way to buy a watch for me is to make sure that it is me that you're buying it from and not a scam account.
Yeah.
For example, Vukum underscore Vukum, V00KUM, Vukum, 3 O's. Then there's the Facebook page that's verified somehow. There's a fucking Facebook page.
That's wild.
How did they get that verified?
I don't know.
Wild.
I don't know. And Facebook won't take it down. Shout out to Facebook. Won't take it down. Yeah, so the only way to buy a watch for me is to hit me on the personal number, which you can find on Vukum.com, spelled exactly how I just spelled it, Vukum.com. And then my Instagram, at V-O-O-K-U-M. That's it. That's the only two ways.
Do you ever deal with, like, annoying, not annoying, but, like, not serious inquiries? You
know what I mean? All the time.
Just to, like, reach out to you, like, oh, my God, it's Vukum. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah, I could navigate it so quickly, though, nowadays. Okay, but, yeah, I know exactly, for the most part, you know, who's just DMing me to waste my time.
Right.
Kick tires. Right. Or if they're kickers. Serious. Yeah.
What were you saying, B?
I have two questions. All right. The first one is, how did you get the name Vukum?
So, all right. The name came to me when his dad was like, you got to think of a business name. You know, I'm like, all right. So, I already had an office in Central Jersey.
Central Jersey.
Where?
It was in Homedale. Oh, I know you want to know exactly.
Where's that?
Central Jersey. So I had an office there. So, I mean, the real story, you know, you guys aren't going to be too proud of me. But, you know, I was sitting there drinking, doing other things. And I just came up with the name. Like, I was typing in words into the computer, into Google. Like, oh, you know, a random word. Whatever a random word you could think of. Random word. Something would come up. A business name would come up. A company would come up. Another random word I'd type in. Something would come up. Then I just happened to type in Vukum. Nothing came up. I said, that's my business name. Because nothing came up. I'd be the top search for everything.
I thought you were going to say you were looking up like a X-rated website and just happened to
spell No. Not that one.
Vukum. I can see that. Vukum sounds like a Tekken character.
Yeah, you should make an anime character.
Oh, like a Vukum anime?
Yeah, I feel like that's an anime name.
They should make an anime after me.
So you on Fortnite, bro?
Yeah.
I had another question.
Got my
too.
Emote ready.
I forgot the other question because I know I had two questions.
You asked him about the name.
Oh, has anyone ever like wanted to buy a watch from you just to be in a video? Like they're like, I want to watch, but make a video of it or something?
Yeah. More so the retail guys. But, you know, sometimes the dealers on the street will be like, yo, like, I'll buy something from you. Just, you know, start filming.
You should charge more for that.
Oh, it depends.
Like an extra $2,000 for that.
Yeah, if I don't like somebody.
Yeah, they're not gonna. I don't know if you do it if you don't like them.
I'll sell you a watch. I'll just tax you a little bit. If they want to sell me some, here's my price. Right,
so let's talk some business. I think you have potential to sell like products besides watches too, like cleaning watch, like that kind of stuff, like jewelry accessories. You know,
I don't know. It's like how many like. Just for example, let's say that, you know, I have a watch cleaning kit, right? How many watch cleaning kits could I really sell?
One to everybody. One to every follower you have.
I mean, that could be an upsell. Like a Vukum watch cleaning kit, I sell them a watch, I say, hey, for an extra $50.
An extra $50?
Yeah.
$100?
That'd be good. But how many of those do you have to do a day to like really see a difference?
Or you could just pump them out. Do you guys have a stand too? Like they could walk into?
No, so we have we just took over a bank in Manalapa, New Jersey. Damn, right on Route 9. Yeah, so the bank went out of business years and years ago. And we just signed the lease on October 15th.
Oh, wow. When are you guys opening up?
So we're waiting on the zoning. There's retail zoning that has to get approved. Oh, and our first hearing or our first like meeting in front of the board of Manalapa is on February 22nd.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah, but think about how long that took from the October 15th.
Six months.
Just for the first hearing. Then there's another hearing after that, and then they have to make a decision. They could say no.
It costs money to be in business, but that could be a big difference.
Risk too. But yeah.
That's perfect to sell product like that in there too.
Yeah, that'd be. I like merch, but I feel like it's a pain in the ass to sell merch.
It's like just for something social media-wise, you should definitely have something where the everyday person can get something of yours, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a $50 shirt or $100 shirt or hoodie or whatever.
You know, it's not going to help you pay the bills, but something
that you could give back and you could support. But it's also free advertising.
Right, exactly.
So they're paying me to advertise for me.
Exactly, yeah.
That's true. So this is the Growing Up Italian podcast. We have to talk about some Italian stuff.
Okay.
So, are you Italian?
Yes.
All right. If you have to prove to us you're Italian, how would you do it?
I don't know. I just wouldn't try to prove it to you.
Prove your Italian.
I feel like we constantly get questioned ourselves. So
really?
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
Of course, no. Bro.
People, if you look at our TikTok comments, people say that we're not Italian.
You look pretty Italian to me. You sound pretty Italian.
It's
to
Italian American. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah.
It's not like off the boat.
Have you been to Italy?
No, never. You guys been?
Yeah.
Plenty of times?
What's your favorite Italian food?
Probably spicy rig.
Spicy rigatoni?
Yeah, or meatballs.
Like, what's the best place that makes it?
Probably Gabriella's. You ever
been
there?
Red Bank? Steakhouse?
Yeah.
They make spicy
in my opinion. Someone might argue me with that.
I've been meaning to go there.
Yeah.
Where's that jersey?
You ever been to La Lupa in Manalapan?
La Lupa? Yeah, I heard of that spot too.
Kid I went to high school with.
Their IG is La Lupa NJ, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's like a wolf, like a little logo of a wolf.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're solid.
Yeah, because Lupa is wolf in Italian.
Yep.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. Butcher's Block has good bolognese. I like bolognese. I like a bolognese.
Same old Jersey spots.
Yeah. I don't go out a lot in the city like to eat or anything, no.
You'd rather eat in Jersey than the city easily?
Yeah, I mean, just I guess it's easier to get to for me because I live in Jersey.
Yeah. Not to go back all the way through the tunnel and shit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're here for work, so
that's the thing, because when we come in, we're like a well-oiled machine. We have a system in place.
Right.
We get in, we storm the beaches in Normandy, and we get out. Like, that's
storm
it.
Storm the beaches.
Yeah, like, ready we go in there. Yeah, no, literally, we go in there, we fuck shit up, and then we bounce. We're there to accomplish tasks.
You're there
leave.
To make your money and then be out.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
As much money as possible in as little time as possible.
Wait, so, James, I'm curious about your role a little bit. Is it just holding a camera behind them, or what's the deal here?
I mean, some would say so, yeah. I just hold the camera, but I'd run the content. The content for him, my dad.
So he'd post for you, too?
Yeah.
Posts, edits. Sometimes he's a therapist for me.
Oh, you're the man. James is the man.
James is the man.
Yep. Big buck right here.
Yep.
Young buck.
Young buck. That's literally young buck.
Young buck.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody says young buck all the time, even if you weren't a buck.
Exactly.
Yep.
I'm actually a buck, so it just works. Young buck.
All right, so you guys got that coming in the horizon, like having
That's
your own
something
location.
Are you still going to New York, though? Or are you
Like three times a week, four times a week now.
Yeah.
If you asked me a couple months ago even, the answer was different. We were going, but we were going like once or twice a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we were doing everything. There were longer days, but we were doing everything we had to do.
That's great.
Yeah.
Would you say the watch market's down now? Because I feel like during COVID, it was like crazy.
Yeah.
Now it kind of went down.
Yeah. Like,
kind of back down.
The first two or three weeks of COVID, it went down. But then
it shot up.
Then it shot up. Like,
because I guess once everybody started getting their money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that happened. And then it just went up and up and up and up and up and up. Until about maybe a year and a half ago, that's when it started coming down again, right? Maybe
a year.
Right about a year ago.
It started trending down.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Is that predictable?
The watch? I mean, probably to some finance major. I'm sure it is, but...
Yeah.
So, I mean... And then even then, you can't predict it to a T.
No, you can never predict it to a T.
Can't predict anything to it.
It's really big on like what's happening overseas, like what world events are going on. Like,
yeah, if there's
like
a war, if there's this, if there's that.
It's like the European, like the Euro.
It's not like an overnight thing, though, right? Like it's something. Yeah,
so some things will happen.
COVID was overnight. COVID was like,
because they shut down the world.
Everything went down. So that
for sure
the entire market. But over time, it's like gradual.
What'd you do in that downtime?
In what?
2020. That whole situation.
That's when I got like super serious about it because I was doing it on the side at first.
Yeah.
Like not a. I don't want to call it a side hustle because I don't like that word.
Right.
But
you're still in school though.
No. I dropped out. Oh, I dropped out of college, and I was just doing like little side things, selling other things, and just showing. Right. But I would do like this on the side, sneakers and clothes sometimes, but mainly like watches and jewelry. Like cheap watches, like $2,000 or $3,000 Rolexes and Omegas.
Yeah, like with like
that's cheap
stuff.
Yeah, like cheap, that's the cheapest
that's
I ever
start,
did.
That's the start of
and watch. It took like all my money to buy one watch back then.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's tough.
But yeah, that's like any kind of hustler. You gotta start somewhere, right? And
yeah, for sure.
Now you're buying watches for that much and flipping it.
Yep.
What's the best flip? Do you have like a best flip story or any other? Like funny stories you think our followers
same
like?
Same story from Rondi's.
You lead the charge on this.
Nothing. Some guy had a really like a vintage Daytona, a really rare Daytona that he had. What was it 62-63?
Yeah, 62-63.
That's the reference number on that if you want to pop it up. And I noticed something funny about the dial. I noticed something was different. And I brought it over to his dad, showed his dad, and his dad was like, yo, this is, what was it? His dad is the one with the knowledge. Rail dial, I think he said. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
It was like some special dial for the watch. So basically, we went, we paid $38,500 for the watch and sold it to, what was it, 80?
Sold to Seth.
Sold it to Seth, right? Yeah. And then I obviously had to split it with his dad, so we split that down the middle.
You think the guy that sold that knew after? No,
he knew after I posted the video.
You know, he hit you up?
No, I'm just saying, after I posted the video, I'm sure he knew.
I was going to say, I imagine he'd be like, oh, you ripped me off.
Well, there was a story to it where the guy who sold it to us, he showed my dad a watch called 10 years ago. And long story short, he sold my dad out on the watch. He sold it to someone else for like $1,000 more than what my dad offered him.
He like stepped on his dad's toes, basically, in the past. And now it got back to bite him in the ass.
Karma happens, man.
Motherfucker's not going to, not again.
That's crazy.
Not again, he's going to. Let me pull up the video. I want to see what the dial was, actually.
I bet.
I want to be right.
Yeah.
But the transparency, bro, that you post on social media, I got to give you the credit because
it
is actually what's going on.
It makes it harder for you to sell shit like that.
Yeah.
Because people know your margins.
I would say, yeah. I used to say no. But no, it's true. Like, someone will be like, bro, I just saw you pay this. And I'm like, it's not the same market. Like, I'm a reputable dealer. It's not, you can't compare the two. Right. If you want to send me the link, I'll send it to him.
You ever get any like old school Italians as customers? I feel like they're like tough cookies to crack.
Yeah, all the time.
They'd be like the cheapest.
They're pretty chill. No, not even.
He's like, what about if I pay cash?
The other day, actually, Sam Grossman was on the phone with me. He's like, bro, this old Italian guy from Boston will not buy the watch. Like, you need to send a video of yourself because he thought it was a scam. Like, but that's like pretty normal
that's
for everybody.
Understandable,
yeah. Like, I do that for, I just did that before we came here. Right. I had to
especially
send a video.
If like someone's like, wiring you the money from a different state. It's scary.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone just got burned from that fake account on Facebook for a blue dial Sky Dweller, which is like 20 something thousand, like 24,000. He got burned for.
That's crazy, bro.
But you know what's like. Like, I want to feel bad for them, and I feel bad for the people that are getting scammed, but, like, I really hate to say it, but the person that, like, I'm looking at the messages after because they'll send me screenshots of how the conversation went down, and the English will be, like, broken up English over text. Like, you know it's, like, someone who's not American speaking to you, right? There's that, and you know, like, I don't speak like that. And B, that when they send them the wire information, it'll be some random name and like, Melissa Jenkins in Miami, Florida. Like, that's the wire information that they're sending. So, I mean, yeah, I get it. Like, you might be really excited because you think you're dealing with me, but you also just have to be careful. You have to see that it's not even my name on the thing. Like, you're not going to check.
Man. That freaking sucks, man. And that's not even your fault either.
I know, but the problem is, why it fucking aggravates me is because it's my reputation.
Yeah, but,
and now the people that don't know that it's not me just think they got scammed by me. So it fucks
word
me.
Of mouth shit, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't let that eat at you. It's gonna.
Yeah,
happen,
yeah.
You know
and I fucking feel bad too because these people, you know, $5,000 is a lot of fucking money. Some people all they have is $5,000 or $10,000,
right.
And like, you know, they're excited to get a watch from me, and then they just get finessed. So it kind
of
sucks.
I feel like I want to give you your flowers for being one of the leaders of the new TikTok wave. Of watch influencers.
Definitely.
Or jewelry influencers.
Like the OG. Thank you.
You're the first person I saw. Like,
same.
For everybody. But what's next for you, you think? I mean, of course, you guys got the location coming, but
yeah.
Is there anything you want to accomplish next?
I mean, probably buy more houses, get into real estate if I could, make more money, park it into, you know, real estate.
Yeah, smart.
Other thing. Yeah, do safe shit, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm doing enough cowboy shit already where I'm buying fucking sell watches. But yeah, like park my money into things that are safe.
Bro, that's crazy. You don't hear that from people your age. And not that
we're
that much older than you, but like.
What are you guys, like 25, 26?
I'm 33.
You're what?
33.
No.
I'm old.
For real?
Oh, you think I'm younger?
I think like 26
I
max.
Like you,
bro. Man,
I'm
going
to buy a watch, bro.
My name's not Tony. Don't worry.
He's a good salesman. He's a good salesman. I like that.
You look slim. You look like you lost some weight.
Lost weight? Because the videos make you look a little bigger. No, but yeah, bro. You've been pioneering the ship, especially for social media. So keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Thank you.
Wish you nothing but the best. And your mindset for somebody your age, I don't hear anybody have that mindset.
Thank you.
You know, our parents always say, like, they had it not easy, but it was easier for them to buy a house back in the day.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And invest. Yeah. So to hear that somebody your age is doing that,
yeah,
I kind of feel like it provides light on the next generation to, you know, also take those chances.
Yeah, for sure.
So
for sure.
Keep it up, bro. All
right, guys, if you're in the market to buy a watch, this is the guy you got to go see it. Make sure you buy from the real one, not the fake one.
Yeah. I'm glad we can make that announcement.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can we clip that too?
Yeah.
Because I want to put that on my Instagram too, if you don't mind.
You didn't post anything like that yet?
No, I mean, I do in the videos, I'll mention it, but I haven't made like a specific video because I don't want to fuck up my engagement either.
Yeah, I agree with that.
People be scared to buy from your own page. Like, oh no.
Is this the real one? Like, fuck me.
I appreciate you coming out, bro. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys. Take it easy.